How many of you remember an activity that took place on March 22nd, 2008? I see befuddled looks. Hint, it was an international activity. Nobody still? It was the largest of its kind. Still nothing? Well, for those of you that didn't get the email, for those of you that didn't get the text, maybe those of you too busy blogging about your breakfast on Facebook to not have joined this particular Facebook group, March 22nd, 2008 was International Pillow Fight Day. Now, most of you probably hadn't heard of this. It was touted as the a pillow fight flash mob that took place in 25 cities around the world. In New York City alone, about 5,000 people showed up for this flash mob. So at least this year, March 22nd, you will be aware what to do with your pillow, where to maybe tune in to show up for this pillow fight flash mob. Well, this event had a few rules. Soft pillows only, swing lightly, do not swing at people without pillows, remove your glasses. Those are some of the key elements of this mob. And I believe only pillows, as they said, were harmed. The feathers strewn about, no people, no humans were hurt, which is quite rare when mobs gather together. You know, because, you know, human nature, or when human nature is the only controlling force, when big groups, when people gather together, these fun-loving, innocent activities seem to draw out the criminality in humanity. As much as it is fun to get together and do something like this, you know, as soon as humans seem to let themselves go, the criminal, you know, mind emerges. Property destruction, violence, instigated usually by some small minority, but yet, as small as that might be, that sometimes intends to spread. You know, it's rare today if you go to sporting events, actually any event you go to, any large public gathering, to not see a police presence. Always. I mean, that seems to be pretty standard. You always see a police presence at any big gathering of people. Well, why? What's the purpose of that? I mean, if it's something, a nice mellow concert, something just easy, a big group in the park, why should the police be there? Well, because of past history, they know that big groups can spur bad behavior. Well, you know, I heard about a recent attempt to start a flash mob water gun fight back in the Midwest. Well, the police, being more aware of this method of gathering, had been monitoring, had actually a task force that monitored social media just to see, you know, what might be brewing. Based upon what they've heard in previous big gatherings, that there was property damage. You know, sometimes there were accidents, sometimes people got hurt. Typically what started out as something easy never seemed to stay that way. It always seemed to grow a little bit in the wrong direction. Well, the police in this incident took a proactive approach to what was, you know, just an innocent, fun event. Well, they closed off that park where it was supposed to show up, and they had a canine training with all their attack dogs. They decided to do a training event that day. And the police sergeant that was interviewed said, well, we need to do that training anyway, and it was a great way to deter people from showing up. So they, just because he knew, based upon property damage, that it might cost the city a lot more to deal with the property damage and, you know, the destruction that could ensue if, as opposed just to doing some normal training. Well, as we've seen in the news recently, Great Britain has been plagued by riots. And as I understand from reading different, and you get many, many different accounts of why this started, what began maybe as a peaceful protest against an injustice erupted into chaos. And when, this is the key, when violent people looking for an excuse to loot, looking for an excuse to destroy property, took over this event. You know, this meaningless violence seems to have no identifiable basis. People, the more I read, the more I found unexplained answers like, well, this is what we think caused this violence. And on the surface, nobody could really nail down why exactly this happened. Well, in Vancouver, not too long ago, Vancouver erupted into riots when they lost the Stanley Cup. Detroit, in the early 80s, erupted into violence when the Tigers won the World Series. So is there a reason? There doesn't seem to be any reason why. I mean, either you win or you lose, riots still erupt. But one forensic psychiatrist at NYU had an interesting outlook on some like riot or mob behavior. He said poverty is likewise not the cause of looting. Poverty is widespread in China and Russia. Mob violence and looting are nowhere to be found. Poverty is widespread in Africa and Asia, but mob violence and looting correlate only with gangs who amass arms and have the resources to rob those poorer than those gangs. You know, poverty did not cause anarchy during Hurricane Katrina, a natural disaster overwhelming the city's resources, the city's police did, along with the criminal elements taking advantage of such disaster-inspired events. It was the criminals within our groups, the humanity, that found that as a great opportunity to do what they really wanted to. I mean, this mindless behavior, mob rule, that we see a lot of in these recent days isn't new. You know, it isn't simply the result of our society's culmination of, you know, six millennia of godless rule of mankind. You know, surprisingly, or maybe not so, maybe it really shouldn't be surprising, this has been happening to mankind since there were enough people to form a mob. If you will, turn with me to Exodus 32. We can read about one well-known mob event. Exodus 32, and starting in verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up to this land out of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off their golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made a molded cap. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. You know, I've always been curious, what caused Aaron so quickly to cave in to this group of people? You know, why did he so willingly fashion a false image, make a false a place to, you know, sacrifice before that, and do all of this, and even declare a day of feasting? Well, we can see a little bit, and what he, at least out of his words, in verse 20 in this chapter. In verse 22, so Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil." You know, a people that dwell on the evil elements with any group or anything like this will find the worst possible behavior. You know, this focus of Israel, of these people, was not on God. It was on themselves. They ate, as it said, and they played. God wasn't in the picture. Another example, if you want to turn with me to Psalms 86. In Psalm 86, in verse 14, we see when David was under great distress. And he said, "O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life, and have not set you before them." You know, when David was facing many of his trials, when those that hated him were seeking his destruction, he saw what it was that were influencing them: pride and violence. And obviously, neither of those traits put God first. It puts mankind first. You know, David was displaying a heart like God's when he was in this situation as well. In verse 17, we read, "Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed." You know, David didn't wish death and fire upon these people. He wished that they would turn from this evil to see their mistakes. We have that same attitude we see from those, that mob mentality we see in the New Testament. And if you will, turn with me to Acts. Acts 17 and in verse 4. "And some of them, after Paul had been preaching to the Thessalonians, some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious," there's that pride, "took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." You know, when you see what happened in Great Britain, you understand what happens when a whole city, I mean, if they were trying to start a riot through this, and it wasn't, and they were doing it just strictly feeding upon the pride and the violence that they could get this mob's to start up. And in verse 6, "But they did not find them looking for Paul. They dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too.'" They were the Jews that had not been persuaded were the ones who actually were turning that city upside down. It wasn't Paul. Well, you know, I believe that humans, that when we were designed by God, we were designed as empty vessels, you know, with the intention of being filled with God's Spirit. You know, we were, as we know, made to expand God's family, and that cannot be done unless we are filled with God's Holy Spirit, with His Spirit dwelling within us. That when we deny God, when we put that pride and we put that violence before us, when God isn't first and foremost, and we refuse to acknowledge His presence in our lives, that vacuum quickly is filled with Satan's influence. And we can see how, you know, just how quickly when big groups, when things turn riotous, how quickly it is that people can turn from, you know, being passive into destruction. Well, brethren, this world is a mob. It is a mob that is violently rebelling against God, and most don't know why. You know, Satan is that instigator. He's that one that threw the first insult, that threw the first rock, that stole the first stereo out of that broken down store. You know, people lose their ability to think correctly when that mob mentality takes them over. People do things typically that they wouldn't do because, you know, it seems right. There's a feeling you can be anonymous, that people won't be caught when you do some things, especially when you see other people around you doing that, acting violently out like that. You know, we are in this mob, brethren, if we live in this world. You know, God calls for us to step out of it, to jump into one of the storefronts, to get out of the way from this big mob that is voraciously going through the city destroying, to not mindlessly follow along with the crowd. Because that great instigator of all violence, the father of all pride, wants us to join him in this worldwide riot. Not with a mindless, unexplainable purpose following us, but with the intent to deny God and to deny the future that we have and that we can have with the Creator.